You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, are you ready for the Ball brothers to all play together in China?
I was actually thinking Lithuania, Anthony. You're thinking in 2016, like where players go when they aren't good enough for the NBA. I'm thinking 2018. I'm on that next, like, light years ahead level thinking, like LeVar Ball. And you know, I for one am excited to watch Lonzo Ball dominate Lithuanian pros in 3 years, like put up like 50, 20, and 10 in games.
I don't think he'll be able to score 50 points, but yeah, I mean, sure, why not?
Yeah, actually, that's probably we'll go 20, 30, and 10.
Yeah, he'll have 50 assists.
Yeah, 50 assists. I was like, again, you know, it's been so long since he played, I forgot that he does not know how to score a basketball.
Yeah. So what Harrison and I are joking about right now, LeVar Ball, like I wrote about it for Lakers Outsiders, and I said, you know, it's been X number of days since LeVar Ball said something stupid, and now we have to reset that counter. LeVar Ball went and said something stupid, and everybody's going to freak out about it. Harrison and I are going to talk about it a little bit here, and then we're going to give an update on Lonzo Ball's knee injury. And then we are going to give an update from practice and the things that the Lakers are going to work on and the kinds of things that I think the Lakers should take a look at or rethink now that Isaiah Thomas is on the team. So, fun show ahead of us. This one might not be as long as usual because it's day two of a 3-day break in between games. But let's go ahead and get to it. Right, Harrison?
Yeah, I'm always ready for a shorter show because it gives me more time to, you know, go and relax as I'm wont to do.
So, yes, I'm day spa. What Harrison just said there is that he can't wait to finish recording and he can have the rare day where he does both record and hit the day spa. That's got to be hashtag blessed, right?
Yes, it is. Very much so.
As always, make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. Thanks to Lakers Nation, by the way, for having us on their crossover show. That was fun. Make sure you guys check out that on both their iTunes page and our iTunes page for parts 1 and 2, respectively. You can follow Harrison on Twitter at HMFagan. I am at Anthony Irwin LA. Let's go ahead and get to this. I have the quote in front of me. I am actually prepared. This is from LeVar Ball, courtesy of at your Bodo, URBODO. Quote, I want all my three boys to play for the Lakers, but if that does not happen, I'm telling you the story what's going to happen first. If they don't take Jello this year, I bring Jello back here to play with Melo for 2 years. Lonzo will be on his third year, and I'm guessing he says, I want to let every NBA team know that Lonzo is not going to re-sign with the Lakers, but will go to any team that will take any of my three boys. That's my plan. He continues.
Or all of the three boys, right?
All of my three boys, yeah.
Yeah.
That's my plan. He continues, Lonzo plays best when he is with his brother. Why wouldn't he? He is a hell of a shooter. They don't play the same position. You see how successful he was when he was with his brother. Why wouldn't you be smart and say, so you want my brother? Come on, let's complete the royal flush. Get the other brother. The royal flush involves 5 cards, LeVar. Come on, man. We don't have to go to any draft. Just sign him in a free agency. You don't have to give Jello $15 million. Give my million for 3 years. We'll
take really it. Glad that he confirmed that.
Because they make so much money off the court. They lose spare change. So now you win championship after championship on the fact that my boys will never leave. That's what I mean, championship, championship, championship. You got to keep the team together for a long time, but you can't because more money is offered. That's why guys jumping between the teams. But what's better than three ball boys together? The big three, the original big three. I don't know if he understands the meaning of original.
There's a lot to unpack, obviously, in that quote. But I think the biggest thing to me is LaVar Ball confirming that it is not going to cost you $15 million a year for LiAngelo Ball. So, and then the other thing, too, is a lot's been made of Lonzo's shooting struggles this year and all of that stuff. And, like, some people are, like, they're chalking it up to, oh, NBA defenders are harder to score against than NCAA players and high schoolers. But LaVar Ball would like you to know that you are trash and you are wrong, and that it's just that he's not playing with his brothers. It's like the Infinity Stones, of which there are also, I think, five. And excuse my nerddom, I should really know the answer to that. There are also five. But with the Ball brothers, there's three. You put them together, you make the Infinity Gauntlet, and all of a sudden you're winning championship after championship, never lost.
So I would agree that the biggest news there is that LiAngelo Ball will not cost $15 million a year. On a year where, especially heading into an offseason where, like, Julius Randle probably won't even get $15 million a year because there's so little money to be spent, it's good to know that they are being realistic with their expectations, their salary demands for one LiAngelo Ball who could play.
This is smart negotiating. So, like, you know, $15 million might seem a little pricey. He's like, hey, I'll get you a discount, $13.
LiAngelo Ball couldn't play at UCLA. Like, that's what... So, here's where I guess we start to take it, not seriously, but we start to really... Once you start parsing together what he's saying, it falls apart rather quickly. LiAngelo Ball couldn't play at UCLA. He's not a good basketball player by NBA standards, by college standards. He might be okay if you go bump into him at a YMCA, but... But in terms of...
I think he'd be pretty good at a random YMCA.
Not nearly as good as, like, the average NBA player. Like, I would imagine Tyler Ennis would, like, stomp on him. He's not... LiAngelo Ball isn't good at basketball. And so...
You don't think he could steal some minutes?
No. Not from anybody. He's not good. The kid who actually had a potential future in the NBA was LaMelo. He... was the one who scored, and now everybody's going to kind of mock it because he never crossed half court on quite a few possessions. But he was the one who scored, what was it, 90-something points in a game. And he is taller. He can shoot from further out than LiAngelo. He was the one who...
Well, he's not taller yet.
I think he's taller than LiAngelo.
He's taller already?
He was a big kid. Like, he was going to be pretty tall. I might have this wrong, but I'm doing this all off the top of my head, but LaMelo is the one who had a potential future in the NBA, right?
And unforgettably named for the Lakers recruiting pitch to Carmelo Anthony.
Well, the best part about this is that if he has another kid, LaVar, if he has another kid, he's wanted to call him La Greatness, which is just incredible.
I thought it would be like LeBron or La Kobe.
We are going to keep talking about this a little bit, and the actual what's actually the most interesting or most important thing here for Laker fans, and we're going to do that here in a second. But yeah, analysis of the other two brothers' basketball games aside, right? Like, Zoran Drogic played in the NBA. Blake Griffin's brother played in the NBA. Like, this isn't completely uncharted territory. Andrew Wiggins' brother, I think, played on the Las Vegas Summer League team for the Timberwolves this past year.
I believe that is correct.
And so this isn't – that's not necessarily uncharted territory that what LaVar is talking about here. There are some illegalities. When he says you could just ignore the draft, no, you can't. You can't quite do that. Now, there is a possibility where LiAngelo Ball – goes undrafted, and then he's a free agent, and then
I think there is nearly a certainty that LiAngelo Ball goes undrafted.
I would probably agree with that with that prediction. LaMelo, I think there's a chance he does get drafted.
I think LaMelo would be drafted. He was, like, I think the fourth rated high school prospect when they took him out, and like, he's played okay over in Lithuania. Like, I understand that it's mostly been against youth players that he's had his biggest games, but he's also had some decent games when they've played against pros, if my, like, understanding is correct.
Yeah.
And, like, is a very, very talented basketball player, and I would have to think that an NBA team would at least draft him with a late second rounder if he made it that far.
It'd be kind of funny if he gets drafted by another NBA team and LeVar just puts the brakes on it and says he's just not going to sign with you because he wants him to be a Laker, right? That'd be kind of interesting. That'd be a fun hypothetical. But the big thing here that I actually did glean from this, or the question that I had after I read this quote was, all right, at what point does Lonzo actually say, all right, enough, Dad, like this? Because he's basically saying that Lonzo would put his NBA career on hold until the three brothers can be united somewhere, right? And that's kind of a tricky situation. And I would have thought,
I think a team would sign those two guys to, like, two-way contracts at least to be able to get Lonzo in free agency.
Probably, yeah, 3 years from now. I mean, like we just said a second ago, it's not uncharted territory, and LaMelo might actually be good. Like, he might actually be an NBA caliber player. So if you're saying, all right, I have the opportunity to have two, at least one really good NBA player in Lonzo, an average NBA player in LaMelo, and a third person in LiAngelo.
A personal strength and conditioning trainer.
Yeah, a water boy. He can be the water boy. I guess a couple teams out there would make that decision or make that call. The Lakers might even be one such team, right? I could see the Lakers doing that. We know.
Shouts to the Sacramento Kings. That's who my money's on.
I was going to go Phoenix, but the Kings would definitely do it.
Vivek, I think the Kings would 100% do that.
Vivek would be thrilled because you could do the 4-on-5 thing with LaMelo.
That's what I'm saying. That's literally what I was about to say. Like, he could do. They are the perfect team for his 4-on-5.
Yes. I would. All right, fine. So, but in terms of Lonzo ever standing up and saying, Dad, all right, enough is enough, I would like to see if this is where he starts to maybe draw the line, right? I would have thought that would be the case.
Haven't we said this like 100 times, though? Like, is this where we finally draw the line, where Lonzo finally draws the line? And the answer has every single time been nope.
Yeah, I would agree. But this is where you're actually messing with the dude's career, right? Like, before it was just kind of LeVar said dumb things about Luke and Lonzo opted not to really say anything about it, right? This is where LeVar is basically asking Lonzo to leave the Lakers in order to facilitate LeVar's master plan. Like, that's not quite the same as not openly crapping on your dad when he craps on the coach. It's not quite the same thing.
It's a shame that Lonzo, I doubt, was made available to the media at practice today, because it would have been interesting to hear what his response would have been if somebody had asked him about it.
I think,
but because he's hurt, I don't think that he was made available.
Yeah, and we'll get to that to the Lonzo update here in a second. But the counterpoint to the point that I just made there, though, right, is that LaMelo left or went to Lithuania before he could ever go to UCLA, and LiAngelo left UCLA outright, right? So we do know that these kids with LeVar are willing to ride with his crazy master plan. So it'll be interesting to see if an actual NBA player in Lonzo Ball will follow suit, will do the same kind of thing. LiAngelo didn't really have much of a choice because, like I said, he wasn't going to play very much at UCLA, and by extension, he probably wasn't going to get much of a shot in the NBA. LaMelo was different. LaMelo was probably going to be one of those one-and-done kind of guys at UCLA and probably would have gotten significant playing time there, but his decision was kind of made before he was ever able to make it, partially because of the big baller brand shoes and that shoe deal. Like, that I think that right away made him ineligible.
I don't think that the NCAA like ever announced that, but I think if he would have tried to play it at UCLA, they probably would have shot that down pretty quickly.
Yeah. So it's a whole. I mean, you're talking about kids' careers and kids' futures here, and this is where it gets kind of tricky. This is where those who do not like LeVar will be quick to point out that he's putting his own brand and his own reputation ahead of his kids' futures, and that's where it gets a little tricky. I'm not going to necessarily go there quite yet because we haven't actually seen this play out, and we haven't heard Lonzo even talk about it yet. But it will. I think at some point Lonzo's probably going to have to. He's going to be asked about this, and he's probably going to have to comment. And I'll be really interested to see how he handles those comments.
Yeah, I mean, I think that will. I think part of that will probably come at the Lakers' next game, should he be cleared to play in it, and it sounds like he's getting closer.
He certainly is, and we will give you guys an update on that situation here in a second. All right, so Lonzo, according to multiple reports, this is your internet dad says that he went through non-contact activities. Bill Orem said the same kind of thing. So did Mike Bresnahan. He's making progress. We still haven't gotten a definitive. Go ahead.
They want him to go through contact drills with one of the assistants at the very least before they play him in games, and it sounds like he did everything but that today.
Yes, he. It looks like he might. And the Lakers be on track.
The Lakers have one more practice tomorrow for him to do that before they hit the road, and so he has kind of one more shot tomorrow today. By the time that you're listening to this, he'll practice, and they'll see if he's ready to play. Like, do you think he'll be back? Like, to me, I think it would just make more sense to keep him out for these next two games because they're on a back to back. Keep him out for All-Star Weekend. Like, don't play him in the Rising Stars game, or like put him on a minutes restriction, and then give him that All-Star break to really have another week to get right before throwing him back into games.
I think he can play at most. He plays in one of these games.
And, well, and if he doesn't play in Wednesday's game, he won't play in Thursday because they won't practice Wednesday.
Oh yeah, good point. So at most, he would play in Wednesday's game, and it would be very sparingly. He would have to be on a minutes restriction, I would hope. And even then, you're a little nervous about him doing so, right? And everything that you just said, it's not possible to disagree because you're presenting facts. The Lakers and Luke prefer his guys to go through a full practice before he has them return to in-game action. So tomorrow,
and I think that's smart.
Yeah, I would agree, especially given all the moving pieces now with everything going on around the Lakers, right? So,
they might as get as much out of him as well they can, since he's only going to be here the next 2 years after this.
That's a good point. I guess you don't have to care about his future because he might not have one with the organization.
Yeah, just use him up real quick.
the Tom Thibodeau would actually agree with this strategy.
Yeah, Tom Thibodeau sitting somewhere listening to this podcast, just nodding. Yeah. Like, yes, that's the Derrick Rose plan.
And Luol Deng is just shuddered. Like, he just
Luol Deng's just crying.
on a beach, wherever he currently is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would say I'm fine with them playing it safe. You have a full other week now to get Lonzo to practice, not just with the team and get back up to speed with the team, but also figure things out with how things might look with Isaiah Thomas and with, I don't think Channing Frye. Do you think Channing Frye is going to get bought out? I kind of think he should.
I don't think he's going to get bought out. I think that he's an Arizona guy. I think he's going to get, I saw some reporters say this. I think he's basically going to get like an assistant coaching internship under Luke Walton.
God, that would be annoying. It'll be interesting because I don't know if Channing Frye thinks he can help a playoff team or if he just wants to ride off into the sunset with the last 2 months of the season. But you know, who knows? But I think the Lakers, to answer your question, I think they have to play it safe with Lonzo. He probably doesn't play these next two games. He comes back after the All-Star break. It'd be interesting to see if the Lakers are okay if they give him the go-ahead to participate in the rookie sophomore game, or if they say, well, wait, he hasn't played in a month for us, a month plus, and now he's in his first in-game action is going to be in this kind of setting. I don't know if I don't know how that would go over.
The thing to keep in mind, though, is it is in L.A., and even though Kuzma's also going to be in it, like, I think that there's probably going to be some enthusiasm on the part of, you know, one Jeannie Buss, who has talked about being, she would be heartbroken if the Lakers didn't have an all-star. They don't have an all-star. I think the team is going to want to, like, put on a showcase of what they have in L.A., and Lonzo would look pretty good in that game. Like, the way that he pushes pace, like, he'd probably get, like, 30 assists.
Yeah, probably, but what do you think the trade-off? Like, the trade-off
is... It would
is,
be a horrible process, yeah. To be clear, in my opinion. But I think that there will be some desire for him to play at least a little bit.
And that's big difference here between saying desire and pressure. I don't think Jeannie would ever put her foot down and nudge Lonzo toward playing.
Me either, to be clear.
Yeah, I don't think that she would ever do that, but I do think that, like you said, desire is the proper word there, that she would kind of be bummed if he couldn't make it back.
And some of that is, like, unspoken, right? So, mm-hmm. like, even if she's not coming down and telling Luke, like, oh, man, I can't wait for Lonzo to play in the rookie sophomore game. Like, if he knows that she wants him to play, and, like, he knows that there's, like, that he has to see the internet, and he sees that there are Laker fans that are, like, getting down on him, I think he probably wants to come out and make an impression and show, hey, I'm one of the best players among this group. And, like, he wouldn't have made it to this point if he didn't feel that way. And so I think that even he will probably put some pressure on himself and try and get back and play in it.
Yeah. If that's the prediction, or if that's what we think, then I kind of think it would make sense that he plays in Wednesday's game, just so that they avoid the, wait, he hasn't played in a month, and now his first return to a game action is going to be in an exhibition game that doesn't matter. I think that if that's the case, then I could see him maybe pushing himself to play 10 or 15 minutes on Wednesday, and then playing in that game on, what is it, Saturday? Whatever it is.
It's Friday.
Friday. Yeah. And then it's not even a back-to-back if you're doing it. That's kind of weird that they would make it a back-to-back for anybody. Could you imagine if, like, poor Kuzma is going to play Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, right?
Yep.
That doesn't seem smart. All right. That'll do it for that. We do have some other stuff, and we're going to get to it really quickly. About the practice and other non-ball topics here. Isaiah Thomas said today was his first practice, according to Mike Bresnahan. He said he still isn't 100%. He'd list himself at about 75% to 80%. One of the things that I've heard kind of bandied about, you actually, Harrison, planted the idea in my head yesterday when you were talking about the different stylings of defense or the different styles of play that the Lakers might have to think about with Isaiah Thomas. And I think it was Krangis on Krangis McBasketball on Twitter. He furthered the idea and said that Dallas really went at Isaiah every time they switched, and that the Lakers got kind of lucky with the percentage of shots that Dallas hit in those situations. Now,
so well, I do have a theory on that, yeah, as far ahead. As guys isolating against Thomas. Mm-hmm. And I think, so the way that Dallas did it, and I alluded to this in the podcast yesterday, Dallas was just kind of isolating whoever Thomas was guarding. And I'm not sure that that is an optimal offensive strategy in the 2018 NBA, because the Lakers are at least, like, smart enough to put Thomas on a guy who is not very good at offense most of the time. And so while this strategy obviously wouldn't work against a team like, you know, the Golden State Warriors, the Lakers don't play them very often. And against most teams, there's a guy that you can hide Isaiah Thomas on, and you honestly might be better off with the types of guys that Isaiah Thomas is guarding, isolating, than you are trying to defend another team's possession, because those guys, like, the reason that Thomas is on them is because they kind of suck. And, like, if you're getting another team to isolate, you know, I'm trying to think of, like, a play, like, their fifth best player on Isaiah Thomas, then that's kind of maybe a win for the defense, as long as you help a little bit.
I agree with the premise of what you're saying, that Yes, if the team just throws the ball in isolation to the guy that Isaiah starts a possession on, then...
Like, if you get LiAngelo Ball isolating against Isaiah Thomas...
you can't just put him in isolation. I agree. Now, what Dallas and what smarter teams are going to do, though, is they're going to put Isaiah Thomas in a pick and roll where he is guarding the screener, and he switches onto the ball handler. And now you have a better offensive player in isolation against Isaiah Thomas, right? And that's what Dallas was doing. They did that with Dirk a few times. And poor Isaiah, Dirk would shoot his typical fadeaway shot, and Isaiah Thomas was guarding his shoelaces, right? So that's where the point that I was going to make was that the Lakers – right now, as they have played defense all year, they have relied heavily on switching, right? They have played lineups that guys can switch 1 through 5, and unfortunately, Isaiah Thomas cannot do that. And so what the Lakers might have to think about, and this is where timing winds up being a blessing for them, is that they could have spent the last 3 days figuring out ways to play defense a little differently whenever Isaiah Thomas is on the court. So if Isaiah Thomas is going to start possessions or start defensive possessions on a bad offensive player that you kind of want to hide him on, and that player goes and sets a screen, the guy guarding the ball handler has to know, well, I can't die on this screen. I have to try to fight through so that we don't end up in a situation where Isaiah Thomas is switched onto a better offensive player than he started the possession on.
Or just like try and recover as fast as possible while Isaiah Thomas gets in front of that guy. Mm-hmm. And then theoretically, the guy that Thomas was guarding, you can maybe give a little bit of extra space to.
Mm-hmm. And the main point here, and look, the guys who are going to be in charge of implementing this or rethinking this are exponentially smarter when it comes to basketball than we are, right? We're just throwing out ideas out there because it's something that we think about, and I'm sure that the Lakers have thought about this, and I'm interested to see if that's what Luke and the Lakers go with. I would be a little wary, though. I'd be a little concerned if they do just say, you know what, we've played this way all season. We are only potentially going to have Isaiah Thomas on the court or on the team for a couple months, and as such, we aren't going to completely rethink the way we do things around here just for one guy. It'd be interesting to see.
Well, then they may lose.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
They may lose a lot if that is the mentality that they decide to approach this with.
It would be funny. Like Dane Cook was a terrible comedian, but one of my favorite lines that he ever said was that he would, you know, those speedometers that they put on the sides of the road to tell you how fast you're going.
Yeah,
and he would. Most people see them and they kind of slow down so that they stay under, you know, X amount miles per hour. And he said, nope, I'd go the opposite way. I'd go for a high score, right? And, like, it would be funny if this is the Lakers kind of pulling up to that sign and they see Isaiah Thomas's net rating and they're like, nope, we're going for the high score. How bad can we make this? And then they just decide to stick with their switching plan and he winds up guarding Kevin Durant or Steph Curry or whomever and it just goes poorly. And maybe that's what happened with the Cavs, I guess. So maybe.
I just want to apologize to the listeners of this podcast for Anthony making a Dane Cook reference just now. That one's on me for not stopping him. I apologize for that. I do want, on a serious note, I do want to say this Lakers coaching staff has done a great job revamping this defense earlier this year, getting it from the worst defense in the league last year to upper half of the league this year with a totally overhauled and theoretically going into the year, mostly chemistry-less roster. And that gives me some faith that these guys are smart enough to figure out, like, that they just can't do that with Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
And, like, Luke has said as much. Luke said, I believe, after that game, like, obviously we can't switch 1 through 5 with him on the floor. And so they're going to have to come up with countermeasures. And, you know, if they can, and if they can slow the bleeding enough on defense that his offense tilts him towards being a positive on the floor, then that's a good thing for the Lakers because he's going to make life easier on Lonzo. He's going to make life easier. Just having a guy that can go get a basket will make it easier on all of these other guys. I think the only reason for concern here is if this continues to just sap Josh Hart's minutes like it did the other night.
Yeah. That's gonna be tough for them to manage. I thought it was pretty straightforward that Isaiah would just slip into Jordan Clarkson's role, but maybe it's more complicated than that.
I mean, they're gonna experiment with things. It's a one game sample size right now. We'll see how they ultimately end up solving all of these potential issues. But again, just to reiterate, like, this was still an amazing trade for the Lakers, regardless of what happens with Isaiah.
Yep. All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. We kind of jumped around a bit today. That's what we do on off days, especially on when you have multiple off days in a row. We'll figure out something fun. Maybe we'll dip into the mailbag. That's what we'll do. Want to do a mailbag?
Yeah, we could dip into the mailbag. And honestly, Anthony, I didn't actually run this idea by you before we started recording because we're professionals like this, but I need some Valentine's Day advice. So,
ooh.
Yeah, like, if any listeners have some tips, go ahead and tweet them at Anthony, and he will read your best ones on air.
Yep. Wait, no, put them in the iTunes reviews.
Yes, but I mean, put them in the iTunes reviews, sorry.
Jeez. There's your first bit of...
If you tweet them at Anthony, we won't answer them. Put them in the iTunes reviews.
Yeah, iTunes reviews with 5 stars. How should Harrison handle Valentine's Day? What are you thinking so far? Like, what plans are you thinking so far? Do you have anything? Are we working with a blank canvas?
There is zero chance that that my lady listens to this podcast because she's not very into the Lakers. So, got her some of the first women's line of Air Jordans. Nice. Was planning on getting cheesecake from the Cheesecake Factory at some point that day. Mm-hmm. Should I have some free time?
So far, so good.
Yeah, but outside of that, I'm a little lost. I'm just kind of a hopeless basket blogger who's, not super great with the ladies. And, I could use some help. So
that is definitely going in the Locked On Lakers out of context. I am just a lost basket blogger who needs a little help with the ladies.
Yeah, so, like, iTunes reviews, your best Valentine's Day tips for a giraffe that is just trying to find love. And, Anthony will pick the best one. I'm not going to read them because I want to react naturally to them on the air. Live. So Anthony is going to go through the iTunes reviews this time.
Yep, I will. I promise. All right. Send your best ones. And maybe, you know what? If you send a good enough one, I'm usually pretty anal when it comes to the people I follow on Twitter, but I'll throw a follow at you if you come up with a good enough one.
And I may block you if it's hurtful enough.
Have a good one, everybody.